All right, who's ready to do some positive thinking? All right. Before we get started, Ray, won't you hand that bucket off to somebody and join me up here for just a minute? Want to do something for Ray this morning. Ray's dad passed away this week and had his service. This is his dad, and I just want to, last year we had 50-year celebration. Well, there's a lot of history of Eagles Way Church that people don't know of. You know, there's people that were very monumental in this house. And Ray's dad, back in 1975, was very instrumental in purchasing property on High Falls Road. And he was a huge donor. He was a huge contributor. And part of the history of Eagles Way Church is because of his dad. And you took good care of your dad. You're a good son, and the Bible says that honor your father and mother all the days of your life, that things may go well with you. And things are going to go well with you, Ray, because you did that. And he was a great man, and we appreciate everything he did for this house. He did for my dad, okay? God bless you. If my lovely wife will stand up right back here in the... Right there. That's you. Is she gorgeous or not? Thank you for working in the media all these years and doing those PowerPoints and trying to follow me and track me for so long. And she gave that up this week. I don't know what she's doing back there, but someone has volunteered to take this over. Jason Brown, would you stand up? God bless you. Thank you. And I love it when stuff comes together. I told Will, he was at my house the other day, and I said, I need to get a picture of Ray's dad. And if you just mention something, the Will is done. You just say something. And next thing I knew, he's over there on the phone texting. He texted Jason and said, said, I need a picture of your dad. The picture came to there, and then it was emailed to Jason, and Jason was able to get it on there. He didn't get my PowerPoint till yesterday around noon. So just thank y'all. Y'all do. Camera guys, thank you. It's a lot of people do a lot of things around here that sometimes we don't recognize as often as we should. But thank you, thank you, thank you for everything that you do. A guy by the name of Norman Vincent Peale, he pastored in New York City for 55 years. He pastored before that in a couple of other places, but after years of pastoring, and this was way back in the 40s and 50s, and he got so blasted and so criticized for his positive thinking theology that he was the poster child for criticism of the church, and everybody else was saying that he was wrong. But this is what he came to believe. He came to believe after all these years of pastoring, he thought about there's three things. There's peace, joy, and fulfillment. Peace, joy, and fulfillment. And he said it was sad that he did not see the church having peace and joy and fulfillment. That the people who should have been filled with peace and should have been filled with joy and should be filled with fulfillment were struggling individuals on planet Earth and barely making it through. He decided, he believed, and he came to this theology, that positive thinking was the only thing that would bring peace, joy, and fulfillment to people's lives. And he wrote a whole book on the power of positive thinking and bringing peace and joy and fulfillment to people's lives. We started our school this past Wednesday night, our second annual school on the School of Positive Thinking. I'm going to follow that up every Sunday morning with Think Positive. And as I've said before, we can't OD you on this. You can't overdose on being positive. You can overdose on a lot of things. You can overeat. You can overdrink. But you can't overthink positive. Okay? Can't do it. You can't do it. Does anybody else believe that besides Ralph? I know he believes that. I need to know if you believe that. So, I'm going to look at a passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. And the Bible says to always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Or remember, the Lord's at hand. Remember that the Lord is here. So he says, always be full of joy. And the question is, why should we rejoice? And I want to talk to you this morning out of the gate about why you should be joyful. And Luke chapter 10, Jesus sends 70 disciples out. Now, we've heard about his 12. We talk about those a lot. But he had his 12 that he was really close to. But he had 70 he chose too. He said when the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, "Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name." "Yes," he told them, "I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. I saw, look, I have given you authority." How many here are a disciple of Christ? All righty. "I have given you," same, just as he's speaking to these 72, he's speaking to this 200 right here, okay? He's speaking to you. He's saying, "I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. And you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them." Now, he's not literally talking about snakes. He's not literally talking about scorpions. He's talking about demonic spirits, wickedness. He says, "You have the power over it. Nothing will injure you. But don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven." Yeah, you would think it'd be pretty exciting to be able to just, you know, go cast out demons. Now, the Bible says that with his hands, he created the world. He created everything with his hands. Said that with his arm, he saved us. The arm of the Lord saved us. He said, and with his finger, he cast out demons. He exerted more power in saving you than it took to cast out demons. All right, you. It took more power of God to get your mind right to save you than it took to cast out demons. Demons was, the finger's pretty weak. The arms, he says, with his hands he created the world. His arm he saved us, Isaiah 53, but with his finger he just cast out demons. Last week we talked about a shipwreck and Paul was on, and we didn't get into the next chapter, and it says they came to this island. And while they was on this island, they built a fire, and I'm sure they were going to warm up after being in the water for a while, and they were cold. So they built this fire, and while they built this fire, this serpent came out and latched on to Paul. And they looked at Paul and said, "I'm bleeding," and said, The serpent latched on to Paul, and Paul just shook it off. When the serpent latched on to Paul, the people of that island said, "He's the devil. He must be evil because this serpent has latched on to him." And Paul just shook it off. And then, and this is amazing, the same ones who just said he's of the devil said, "He must be a god." People can go, they can go from here to here real quick. You can go from being a devil to being a god real quick. All Paul had to do was shake off a serpent off his hand, and all of a sudden, he's God. Well, all he's indicating is that he knows, because God, he has had an encounter with Christ, and he knows that he has the power over all of the enemy. He has power over all the enemy. When Jesus said, "Don't rejoice because the demons are subject to you. Don't rejoice because you have power over the enemy. Rejoice because your name is written in heaven." Now, there are three heavens. There's the first heaven, the second heaven, and the third heaven. The first heaven is what you see. is the atmosphere of which you... The second heaven is about 6,000 feet high. It's where the clouds and the mountaintops reach. Then there's a third heaven where God resides. And those different aspects of heaven are just different places that you can get. In the second heaven, it's where demonic spirits reside. This is where in Ephesians chapter 6 it said that we are put on the whole armor of God so that we can withstand the wiles of the devil. That in this second heaven is where God cast out of heaven, the third heaven. I'm getting, y'all with me here? He cast out of the third heaven, and they resided in this second heaven. He says that we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places, against principalities and powers in high places. In that heaven is where Jesus said, I'm going to put your name. Why? Because he wants every demon in hell and every demon that's ever been to know who you are. In Acts chapter 19, it says in verse 13, a group of Jews was traveling from town to town casting out evil spirits. They tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus in their incantation, saying, I command you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, to come out. Seven sons of Sceva, a leading priest, were doing this. But one time when they tried it, the evil spirit replied, I know Jesus, and I know Paul, but who are you? Then the man with the evil spirit leaped on them, overpowered them, and attacked them with such violence that they fled from the house naked and battered. The key to this verse is, Jesus we know, and Paul we know, but who are you? The reason they knew Jesus and the reason they knew Paul, because the name was written in heaven and they knew who he was. Let me tell you something. Before you can think positive, before you can be a positive person, as a Christian, now, if you're not a Christian, it's easy. If you're not a Christian, it's easier for some people who are unbelievers and not a Christian to be positive than it is for some Christians to be positive, and I'm going to tell you why. Because first and foremost, what you think about God, what you think about the devil, and what you think about yourself, if your theology is not right in that area, you can't be positive. If you believe that God is a God who wants to throw people into hell, if you believe that God is a God who wants to hit you over the head every time you mess up, if you believe that God is a God who is against you, then you can't be positive. But if you believe that God is for us, then who can be against us? If you believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For he sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. If you believe that God is not angry anymore. He was in the Old Testament. If you don't believe it, go read it. He was a pretty upset God in the Old Covenant. But in the New Covenant, it says it pleased God to beat Christ, that he be smitten on the cross, because by that he took vengeance out on all evil. All vengeance has been, it's been done. Christ took it all. Now God is a God of love and mercy and compassion. He is a, he said, and you know, what do you think about the devil? Well, he's defeated. That's it. In Colossians chapter 2, it says that he spoiled principalities. He stripped them of their authority, making a shame of them openly. That when he died on the cross and when he went back to heaven to take the blood and put it on the mercy seat. We just sung about that in Revelation. He took it on the mercy seat. He sprinkled the blood in the heavenly of heavens. He took a train of vanquished foes, the Bible says, that were defeated. Every devil, every demon was stripped of their authority. Well, how come we have so much trouble with him today? I don't. You don't have to have trouble with him. There's no reason for you to have trouble with him if you know that you have given the power over him. In Revelation chapter 12, there's something real neat that happened. I'm not going to read it all, but I'm going to read enough, and this is not on the PowerPoint. But the Bible says there was appeared a great wonder in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon in her feet, and on her head was a crown of 12 stars. And I don't have time to get into all this. That's you. That's the church. You're the church. We're the church. I didn't go to church this morning. I am the church. The church came to church. You are the church. And you are clothed with glory and honor. The sun and the moon, the darkness is under your feet. And you're crowned with stars. You're not going to be victorious. You're already victorious. Already victorious. And he goes on to say, he says that she was being with child. She was going to give birth to the Christ. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. Though it sounds pretty wicked, doesn't it? I like Kilavarna used to say he started off as a serpent in the garden and he ended up a big old dragon. He must have ate a lot of people between then and then. Says that there was war in heaven. There's war in heaven. And God decided, I'm not fooling with this dude. Michael, you and your angels, take care of this little situation over here. So it says, there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, if I stop there, I'd go, whoa, this is getting scary. This devil, this Satan, this serpent, this being that scares the daylights out of people is cast out of heaven. Listen to the next verse. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of the Christ, for the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. Wow. He said, he's cast, it sounds really bad. He's cast into the earth. But he says, no, salvation and honor and kingdom. And he goes on to say that this dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, and he persecuted the woman which brought forth the male child. Now, literally that happened when Christ was born. That's the reason they came. They tried to kill all of the kids. They're trying to kill the Christ. And so, but she fled and she was preserved. Now, she gave birth to the literal Christ, and now we give birth to him in the earth today. Paul said, I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. This is old kingdom theology here, church. I love this. I ain't preached this kind of stuff in a long time. If you don't like it, fine. I'm having fun. Christ is in me, and I'm giving birth to him in the earth. It says this serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. What is the flood? flood of words and thoughts.
Yes, sir.
He has no power, no authority. He just has deception. The earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Why? Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, he's established it upon the floods. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and a King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. He is the King of glory. Lift up your heads, lift up your gates, and the King of glory shall come in. Think positive. Lift up your countenance, and the King of glory shall come in. And the earth will open up and swallow up all the deception of the enemy that comes against you, because God has not only sanctified you, he sanctified the earth, he sanctified everything that's on the planet. It has been touched by the blood of Christ, and all is well. Yeah. That's why there was a book written years ago, Satan's Alive and Well on Planet Earth. The biggest lie ever spoken. He's not well. And that's why you asked me, Bjorn, do you believe in the devil? No, I'm not going to put my trust and my faith in him. I believe there is one? Yeah. I don't believe in him, though. I believe in God. My faith is in Christ. My faith is in Christ. A prominent minister just this past week said that, I asked him, did he believe in a hell? And he said, no. Did you believe that God will send people to hell? He said, no, I believe that. I believe God will throw people into hell. Wow. The Bible says that hell was created for the devil and his angels. Peter said God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. It's amazing that God wants that, but the church doesn't. There's still a people who would really like to see people go to hell. That if you really preach about hell and make it hot enough, some people say, amen. If you say, these people are going to hell, amen. Amen? You glad people are going to hell? And so hell is this place. First of all, what is hell? What's it matter? You're not going. Why do I want to know about a place that I'm not going to? I'm not going there. Are you? I heard a black preacher say one time, he was doing a funeral. I love this. He said, what in hell do you want? And his whole message was, what in hell do you want? He said, God, he said, let your consideration be known to all men. One translation says, let your moderation be known to all men. I love studying Greek words from time to time, but sometimes you just get caught up in it, and they're words that's just almost indescribable. Grace is one of those words. This word, let your moderation be known to all men. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness and your forbearance, one translation says, be known to all men. This translation says, let your consideration be considerate to all men. What in the world? How can I be considerate? Here's what it means. Relax justice and introduce mercy. Relax justice and introduce mercy. Jesus, we got this woman. We caught her in the very act of adultery. We got her. Here she is. Now we got a question for you, because you say you're God. We want to bring something to your attention. Your God, that you say you are, said, In the old covenant, if a woman's caught in adultery, she's to be killed. You stone her to death. I don't know where the man was. It's funny how women were back then. I don't know where the man was. She got caught in adultery, but both of them were supposed to be stoned. So, I'm Christ here. Here she is. They're 100% right. Yes, sir. Justice demanded her life. That's what the law said. Justice demanded her life. You know what Christ did? He relaxed justice and introduced mercy. And he stooped in the ground and began to write something. We don't have a clue what he wrote. Don't really matter. I'd like to think of what he wrote. You judgmental, critical. Where were you? Where? Maybe one of them standing there, and we won't call a name, but maybe he wrote his name down and said, "Where were you last Saturday night?" Maybe. And all of a sudden it says they begin to walk away one by one. And I like this, from the oldest to the youngest. Because the old was smart. The older ones had been through enough history that they were the first ones to go, let's back up. And so they began to walk away, and the young one said, I think we better go too. And Jesus says, you without sin, throw away. Go ahead, hurl away. Cast all the stones you want if you're without sin. That's what God would say to each and every one of us today. You don't have any sin? Throw all the stones you want. Accuse all you want. Condemn all you want. Criticize all you want. Judge all you want. Murder all you want. Ruin people's reputation. Talk about them. Criticize them. Tear them up. If you are without sin, go to town. Do all you want to do. Because there's a loving God who has decided, I'm done with vengeance. My son has taken it. And I'm done with it. And I decided 20 some odd years ago I was too. Hardest, most difficult transition ever made in my life. But it's been the most worthwhile transition ever made in my life. Because I decided, lying in ICU, God spoke to me and said, don't ever judge anyone or anything ever again. And it was as real as I'm speaking today. I'm glad I heard that voice. Has it been easy? Have I judged anybody? Yep. Yeah. Sure have. But I don't judge nearly much as I used to. And I've come a long way from here to here. Is it easy? No. Is it worthwhile? Every bit of it. Every bit of it. Brian, I heard you did CrossFit yesterday. Was it easy? Does your leg hurt? Does it hurt? Is it going to be worthwhile? I tried to cut out wheat this week. I did pretty good. I cut out about 95%. Was it easy? No. I wanted a Burger King so bad. Oh, I did. But, you know, is it easy? No. It's worthwhile. Is this going to be easy for you? No. Somebody was walking out of the church a few weeks ago, and they looked at me and said, man, Buren, this, I want to be positive, but it's so difficult. These negative thoughts just come. And I looked at him and I said, thank God. He said, what? I said, thank God. He said, what do you mean, thank God? Thank God for those negative thoughts. He says, Buren, that don't sound right. You used to not even know you had them. The fact you know you have them, you can do something about it. You can't, a deceived person doesn't know they're deceived. If they knew they were deceived, guess what? They wouldn't be deceived. Thank God you know the negative thoughts now. Thank God for them. Thank God you recognize them because you used to not. You used to walk around being so critical and negative and judgmental, and you didn't even know it. Didn't even know. Now you know. So why should I rejoice? Because my name is written in heaven. And everything negative and everything critical know my name. And I have power over it all. Hallelujah. It's good stuff. Let's close. Let's get this real quick. I knew I was going to spend the most time on that one because you needed it the most. So, second thing is, why should we rejoice? Why should we not worry? Why should we not worry? Well, he goes on to say, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Wow. What? Why shouldn't I worry? Don't worry. Come on. Be happy. Thank you. That's cool. All right. So why should I not worry? Because he's got everything under control. And all I got to do is thank him for what's already done. Okay. All right. So in closing, why then? Why should I think positive? He says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. Before we go any further, think about what is true. Now, some people, well, the gossip I heard is true, so I can repeat it. Or this person really is this type person, therefore I can judge it because it's true. That's not the truth he's talking about. No, that's not the truth. The truth's the truth that Christ came to give. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Think about what's honorable. Think about what's right, what's pure, what's lovely, what's admirable. Because if you do this, you'll think about these things that are excellent and they're worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. All right. This is so important right here. God of peace will be with you. Being positive is more than the absence of negativity. Just because I'm not negative doesn't mean I'm positive. I can be in a neutral zone.
That's right.
Peace is not simply the absence of trouble.
Right.
Come on, son. Good. Peace is not simply the absence of trouble. When he says the God of peace will be with you, it's not the absence of troubles, but it's everything which makes a man's highest good. Wow. He says, I'm not just going to remove trouble from you. I'm going to create in you all things that are good for you. Amen. I can't say nothing else. That's God of peace. So I'll be with you If you just think right, I'll be with you. I'll be with you. Aren't you glad he's with you? Aren't you glad he's for you? Rap drove that point home Wednesday night. His whole thing was, God be for us. Who can be against us? The greatest thing you'll ever know is God's for you. God's for you. God is for you. The whole world can be against you, but God is for you. Girl looks pretty peaceful and happy, doesn't she?
That's it, man.
I like that. She just lying there in the grass, a smile on her face. Peace, joy, and fulfillment. Wow. I don't know about you. That's how I want to live. I do. I like that. Don't you like that? She's pretty. Don't you want... Thank you. Don't you want to be like that? Do you lift up your heads, oh, you gates. You're the gate. You're the city. Don't back up. Don't go there. You're the city. I'm not backing up. You're the temple. You're where he lives. You're where he dwells. You're his house. We're co-laborers with God now. Co-laborers with God. He's with me and I'm with him. He's for me and I'm for him. And that's why you won't hear me talk. I had to do it this morning, but you're not going to hear me talk a lot about hell. It's not for you. That's not a destination that you're going. God called me to preach. He called me to keep people from going there. That's what I do. I've done funerals and I've had people come to my, boy, you just preached him right into heaven, didn't you? I said, yep. That's what I do. That's what I do. I stand at the gate of hell and keep people from going in. Boy, that I feel like an ED jerk on that one. That man, I'm standing at the gate. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. In case you don't know it, you are the rock. He's the Petros, the massive rock, and you're the Petros, a piece of the rock. You're a chip off the old block. You're a chip off the old block. And Daniel said, all it took out of a mountain to destroy all the kingdoms of the world is to take a little stone from that mountain, and he hurled it and crushed all the kingdoms of the world. All it takes is one positive person. All of one positive thought to just destroy all the other. Amen. Yep, okay. All right. Now, what you going to do about it? Dwayne Swilly did a youth camp, wasn't it, years ago, Will? And I think he said it once. He said it about 100 times. What you going to do about it? What you going to do about it? Because that's what matters. What you going to do about it? What am I going to do? God is for us. Say it. The devil's defeated. Hell's not for me. There's nothing in hell I want. I'm all about heaven. I'm all about God. I'm all about love. All about mercy. Good preaching. You did good. Some of you wanted to get up and preach. You just did. You just did. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's stand. First Sunday in the month, we have communion. And I want you to look at me for a moment, because if you're here and you're visiting with us, this is open communion, you believe in Christ, then I invite you to come. But I want to share something that I've shared oftentimes about communion, and it's this. In the same night, he was betrayed. In the same night, he was betrayed. If that had been me, I'd have been looking for somebody to get onto. If it was the same night I was betrayed, I'd be looking for somebody to hit upside the head, and you would too. But in the same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread, and he broke it, and he gave thanks. He says, "This is my body, which is broken for you. This is my blood of the new covenant. I give you a new commandment, love one another." Didn't say a word about who betrayed him. Didn't condemn him. Didn't get on to him. Just forgave him, because that's what he does. Amen. And so as the elders are coming to stand here, just come and receive your elements. Go back to your seat, and we'll receive it together. A couple of quick things before we receive the elements. The kids will be staying in here, so don't go pick them up in the back. If you got a kid in here, make sure you get them before you leave. They're all back in here and over in here. I've had several people ask me where Mother is, because she hadn't been here in the last couple of weeks. She's fine. Believe it or not, I asked her not to come, and she didn't. That's a miracle. I mean, you don't believe in miracles? That's a miracle. I asked my mother. I just told her, I said, just stay in the house. Just you don't. And she knew the bug I got, and she don't want that at all. So that's the reason she's just taking a few weeks off until maybe all this stuff gets out of here. So that's why she did what her son said to do, which is absolutely amazing. This is his body. It's broken for us. And we need to give our bodies to others too, just like he gave to us. Because he has forgiven us, we are to forgive others and walk in the what I call from years ago unilateral forgiveness. And that means nobody has to ask for it. You get it. You don't have to ask me to forgive you. You get it. And that's what Christ is. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. Amen. New covenant. No words God can describe. We can't even begin to comprehend what manner of love you've bestowed on us. John even said, "What kind of foreign love is this? That you love us before we even love you. And you forgive us before we even ask to be forgiven." Lord, help us to be reminded every day to take this same love and this same forgiveness out into a broken world who just needs somebody to look at them and say, "I forgive you. I love you. I'm for you." Help us, God. In Christ's name, amen. God bless you.